Well, we're back over in our teaching above all things. We've been specifically talking in areas of healing, and we used a scripture. The foundation was from the King James Version, from 3 John, the second verse says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." In other words, the idea was for Gaius. John was writing to a guy, Gaius, and he said, basically, if we would put it in, more of a literal, like the literal Greek reads, it would be like, "I pray to God that you prosper and you be in health, even as your soul prospers." And understand that prosperity and health are both a way of thinking. So in other words, you have to change the way you think about things. You have to change the way that you go. See, it's one of the things that, you know, I've often thought about, even like in areas like, say, looking in health in our nation, and they're talking about they want to bring health in our nation. And, you know, there are all these things, and there's always got all this stuff, and the government puts out, and groups put out all these things about health, and they'll say different things, don't drink any coffee, and how coffee is just going to kill you. Then it comes out and say, oh, then caffeine, found out that caffeine is, a certain amount of caffeine was good for you. So, you know, and this is the whole thing. We got all of this stuff that runs around out here. God has printed the health book. Did you ever notice, and I want you to get a hold of this, did Jesus ever tell somebody that they wouldn't get healed, they couldn't get healed because their food was wrong? Ever one time. Never one time. Now look, if it's a problem, he should have mentioned it. We need to, you know, we're not going to sit around and try to eat poison, try to eat something crazy and stuff. But you need to get into the fact that you're living in a tainted world and has been tainted ever since Adam followed the devil. And it ain't changed. And the devil's been killing people ever since. And he's been killing everybody in every group who goes along and tries to fix everything naturally. It doesn't work. It can't be done. There's a spiritual cause of things that goes on. And no matter how we try in the natural, and it's good in the natural to try to do something, but even from a health standpoint, you know, they go crazy. I mean, in Jesus' day, just think in Jesus' day, you know, there was no thing written under the law that man had to wash his hands before he ate. Yet they're walking along and the disciples are going through taking grain, not washing their hands or eating. These guys are saying, oh, they sinned against the law. See, they made health laws and they had the idea that it was healthy. For some reason, Jesus didn't think that made a difference. Now, I would think that Jesus probably took baths regularly. I would think that Jesus probably did. But his idea and what was going on was not like men think about things. We have this idea of cleanliness today and all this kind of stuff and things. You know, I just read a thing about the health field, all the things like, say, in the health community where doctors' offices and hospitals and stuff and their employees, the stuff that they're around to trying to take care of all kind of bacteria and everything like that. These people are coming down with all kind of messed up diseases. And it's because of all these chemicals they're using, trying to make everybody, keeping everybody healthy. The majority of thyroid cancer, they believe, is coming from it. From all their stuff, trying to keep clean, are killing them. People's cleanliness is killing us. And you sit and you read this stuff. They're going through all the things. And then the study finds that all the things that they told us that were bad, now they can't prove it. And all the things they said were good is what was killing us. So we're sitting and look, folks, you need to understand where you're living. I look at the Bible. You know, I understand why John G. Lake walked where he walked. Because he was a complete believer. In fact, if Jesus didn't mention or say it, it wasn't important. What Jesus said was the top of the list of anything. If Jesus said he was the last word on the subject to John G. Lake. But he's not. Today, we have in the church world as much stuff that has been written and added to the Bible by all these thinking stuff that we got on health that we have bought in. And it has led people to the place they can't believe God anymore, just simply from the Word. They can't believe it anymore, just from simply from the Word. You know, you have to be doing all this different right stuff all the time, and you have to be worried about. We're in a tainted world, and I'm going to tell you what, you can't live under the fear of this world. This is a tainted world. We can do the best we can on things. I believe it's a good idea, you know, to wash your hands and all that kind of stuff. And you can do that. You can wash your hands. But, you know, it's a funny thing. When they stopped, you know, a lot of places stopped and using this antibacterial stuff. You know, when they really came down to the studies and found out that a person washing their hands with regular soap and water's hands were just as clean bacterially as using that stuff. All this time they're telling you, you need to do it. It's all been a bunch of junk. Nobody, not just all of our smarts in our nation, that stuff went on for how many years of using that stuff, and nobody ever checked to see if it was true. No one ever checked, but yet they promoted it to us all the time, and we bought it, and you know, and there Jesus' guys are walking through without washed hands eating, and he don't scold them. They ain't in trouble. But don't you know that'll make you sick? You know, cleanliness is next to godliness, you know. Which ain't in the Bible. A nice made up story by mamas to try to get their kids to clean up. My mom used to throw that out. Cleanliness is next to godliness. I never remember forget when I asked her when that was the Bible. Well, she had no clue where it was at because it wasn't in. But I know it's there. I know it is. I said, well, when you find it, let me know. Well, mama never found it. It was never there in the Bible. I'll tell you what, I know a lot of people are very clean, dressed very nice, and they're as heathen and devilish as the day is long. I'll tell you, whether somebody's cleaned up or looking good, we got a lot of cleaned up, looking good people in this nation that ain't worth a nickel in life. So, you know, whether or not we clean up is looking on the outside. Jesus used the term about food. He bought food that passes through you and goes out of you. You know, we make the big deal. We amplify really what the Bible doesn't amplify. And look, there's truths to both sides of things, but we have gotten too far over. We're way too far over in a ditch on the areas of food and things in our nation. We're way over in a ditch. And the more we have gotten over there, the more we have moved away from faith in God. And so healing doesn't work for people. And it can't. It can't work because people's faith is more in things than it is in what the Word says. And you got to get down to things. I mean, even if you mess up, what are you going to do? Do you have to eat the right chicken all the time to get yourself healed? You can't go over to God and say, okay, I was stupid, you know. I shouldn't have maybe done this or done that. Could you heal me? No, I'm sorry. You're just going to have to eat all the right food to get well again. That's just it. We'll say, well, it ain't going to work. Well, too bad, you're dead. Is that what we're going to get out of this thing? You know, it sounds funny. That's where most people are today in the areas of healing. I have never, somebody that I've known personally, I watch things over the years. I pay attention to what people do when they're sick. People running into grave diseases, dealing with death. I have never found one person yet who has went the health way that I didn't end up doing their funeral. Never found one. I always end up doing their funeral. They're always looking for some kind of natural cures, a natural thing. God's going to use this. God's going to use that. God's going to... If he told you he's going to, then it's going to work. If it don't work, it wasn't God. If God said you to do something and you obeyed it and it don't work, then it's a lie. It wasn't God. It couldn't have been. What was the point of doing it? I found out over the years when God told me to do something, it worked. And this is what people need to find out. There's one thing we need to know. We live in this tainted world. We need to be able to come over. And if I can go to what the Word says, the Word is true and it's right. It will perform what it says and it's going to do it for me, what it says. When a voice comes along and tells me that I'm supposed to do something else and I do it and it don't work, I'm going to tell you, I need to question that voice. I know one person without cancer, I mean, dealing with them, and they went out to California to take some kind of oxygen something or other things, and God told us to go. And I just told him, I said, God told you to go do that. I said, in other words, when you do this, you're going to be well again. Well, they never answered me really clearly. They were just reaching out for straws. What they're doing is they're just trying to find something. They're just trying to do it when they should have been focusing over in the Word of God, and they weren't. And they're out there just reaching, trying to grab straws. They're in a tough situation. And they went out and went through the oxygen treatment and came back, and I did the funeral. It wasn't God. It wasn't God. Everybody's reaching out, trying to get something. And it's like building faith in God. It's sitting down and look at the Word. The Bible says, Himself took my infirmities and bore my sickness. It says, by His stripes I were healed. They're out there trying to get healed. That ain't faith. They're not just trying to get healed. They haven't believed they've received anything. They're still trying to get it. They're out chasing after something, trying to find the cure. You know, I wasn't about the Holy Spirit once. A major guy in ministry years ago, he's a singer guy, and he played an instrument and stuff. And got into a lot of wacky stuff. I had somebody come along and give me I guess it was a while back because he gave it to me. I think it was in a tape. Still, I don't think it was on a CD. I think it was in a tape. But anyhow, it was about this juice from this plant over in Asia somewhere. And they're selling this stuff as this is the cure-all of everything. I mean, this thing here, they were talking about antioxidants in it, you know, that, you know, this food has this much, but this thing has, you know, 10,000 more, and that's over everything, 50,000, 100,000 more. But anyhow, you're supposed to, this juice was really. And I remember listening to this thing, and this guy says from his own voice, this minister said from his own voice, and I'm going to tell you what, when I heard it, it was just as if the devil was speaking personally. Because this man was so deceived. Now, I'm sure he was making a lot of money doing what he did. Because he was in the middle of this marketing stuff with this thing. And he was selling to probably a lot of people that were going to turn around and die believing his story. But he made this statement that God told him that he hid this fruit and this thing for the last days to bring out this big healing thing in this last day. This is what he said. Now, back in the 80s, this guy was out, you know, and he was on TV and all, and boy, people put him to the front of the ministry and all kind of did stuff. They get over into this stuff. And I listened to him say that, and I said, well, if God did that, I will never serve Him. If I find out God would actually do that, I'd never serve Him another day, because Jesus then didn't take our infirmities, and He just didn't bear our sicknesses. And God hid something from all those poor other people who died, never told them about it. All those good people that served God, and God hid it from them to bring it out in this last days. But you see how people get so deceived over into things? See, that's faith destroyers. These people that go out this marketing, when you buy these marketing programs and you get involved in it, you're getting deceived lots of times into things. You need to be careful about what you get deceived into. Because somebody can say some things that are true, but they put things out. When they start making you skeptical of the Word, you run away from them and never get close to them again. I don't care how nice of a person they are. Don't ever listen to them again till you hear repentance from their mouth, from the lies that they're preaching. Because that's the stuff that's the great destroyers of faith. You know, the Bible talks about little grapes, the little foxes that eat the grapes. It is the little things that people are doing out there. The big lies, you can sit there and pick it right out of the crowd. But most Christians can't pick out the little things that are coming along and destroying their faith and killing their faith. The marketing and stuff that is done to so-called Christianity today on health stuff, there's a lot of bad stuff. A lot of things saying that are not good because it diminishes people's faith in God. You never, like over the years, I even tell people, don't you ever go to a doctor who don't give you hope. You don't want to get around nobody who gives you hope. I've had doctors rob hope from people. You don't have any hope. Yeah, I can't do no more for you. You're done. Oh, you're God. You're the last. You don't want to go to people like that. They're killers. You don't want to go around people that think they're the last say. Dear Lord, I'd like to sure think God know a little bit more than Ed does. Dear God. I might not know something, but dear Lord, there's God the Holy Ghost, and He's bright, and He knows. But you don't take things from people who steal hope out of us and things that move you against the Word. You know, we're not living in a special generation today in healing. Healing has not changed at all from the time that the Bible was written. It's identical. There's not a new revelation of it today. It might be new to people today because they preach, but it's the same. Healing works by faith identically as it always has done, and faith in God. And I look at Jesus, and Jesus never turned the guy down and ate too much ice cream. So there's hope for Ed. Glory to God. But I want you to get that, because what happens? The reason people can't hook up with faith, because we're trying to have natural perfection. And that natural perfection is a faith robber. It is one of the faith robbers. The natural. I have to meet all the natural perfection to have what Christ wants to give. My perfection is my faith. It ain't perfect in the natural. Ain't one of you guys either. And if we're measured in any by that, forget it. Let's just go home and be a Jesus and forget about any kind of revival here in the last day. Let's just leave. It's about our faith. When you came to Christ, you were born again and made a child of God, not on none of your perfection. You had none. Your faith brought you into perfection in God's kingdom and set you apart and made you what you are. Dear Lord, you can't be made any better. It don't get any better than what you already got. Folks, you got, and your faith is the perfection of your faith. God looks and measures you on the basis of faith. Look what God said to the prophet Samuel. When Samuel's turning around looking at the guy that looks all the good on the outside. He says, God doesn't look by the outward, he don't judge by the outward appearance, he judges by the heart. He's looking at the individual's faith. David's perfection wasn't he was the right guy on the outside, but he was the right guy on the inside. His faith made him right before God. It's what he believed. And see, it's what we believe and what we have on the inside. On the outside, nobody's perfect. Nobody does everything right. You can't, I mean, we're this tainted world we're in, my words, there ain't enough knowledge for us to keep out all the trouble there is to get into and the stuff that could happen to you. You know, no matter how much I would try, say with my eating habits and that stuff, man, you could end up eating what you thought was good and end up killing you. Why would God go through the thing? It's one of the things before Jesus left. He said, if you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. Why would he ever say such a thing if we're just going to be Mr. and Mrs. Health Food and nobody's ever going to eat nothing bad? It ain't happening. We're living in a world. And I'll tell you, the devil will try to kill you here, and he'll send somebody to try to kill you here. And you know what? Faith will keep you alive. Hallelujah. Faith will keep you alive so you can get straightened out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what it's, and your faith. Walk by your faith. Hallelujah. Stay with what the Word of God said. You know, I'm for you. My words, I realize there's probably, you know, you could eat wrong things and do things that would hurt you for sure. But dear Lord, we have it way to an extreme. It's so far into the extreme. Lots of times over the years, there's Christians that I would hate to even go out to eat with. I didn't even like, because of their, I shouldn't be eating this and I shouldn't eat that. They don't realize it. If you ain't eating, but you don't believe you can eat it, then you shouldn't be eating it at all. And when you said it, you're confessing to I'm sinning. And loads of times the things they're eating ain't nothing wrong with it. You're sitting around, you're going to have dessert. Well, I shouldn't be eating dessert. Well, I mean, you could eat four steaks before, but maybe you could have had two steaks and a dessert. Maybe that would have helped you. But dessert ain't sin. Sugar ain't sin. Just the stupid people. When we turn around and start doing that stuff and then remarking, I can't touch, I can't taste, I can't do that, I'm not allowed to do this. I got this nice little narrow life. And if I get outside of it, I believe I'm doing wrong. Try to walk by faith thinking like that. Try to do that. You live in such condemnation of things. When you go up and you do get sick, you're going to thinking, yeah, well, I shouldn't have ate that pie. And there went your faith out the window of believing God for healing. See, we need to get away from some of this. And I just said, people, don't touch, don't taste. Hey, hold it. Is that what God expected us to live like? Where's the joy of life? Where's it going to? I mean, it's like walking around with a gun at your head all the time. Dear Lord, God don't want us to go there, and He don't want you to go there. He don't want you to live in that place. God wants you to live in a place of freedom over in here. You don't think, you know, sitting around, everything's bad for you, everything. You know, Paul wrote to the church at Colossians asking, why this don't touch, don't taste? Why do you guys treat this as like it's some kind of godliness? Why do you do that? You know what he said? Talking about renewing the mind. Set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You ain't going to get up in heaven and find out, well, now don't eat that. Don't eat this. Don't touch that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Dear God, if it is, please don't send me there. I don't want to go. I already live in hell here with that, putting up with that hell. I don't want to put up with it there. Thanks, God. We ain't going to be. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But when I came into the kingdom and back through the 80s, the kingdom, the people were more focused on the kingdom. Today, they're more focused on the flesh. The church is more focused on the flesh than they are. It is. It's much more focused on the side of the flesh. And I've come to this conclusion. Ed, you lived a better spiritual life when you weren't following as much of this stuff they have over here in the flesh. We were more spiritual. God would move quicker for us than he can move now. Oh, and we've gotten so spiritual. We've gotten so spiritual. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, let's get back over and get to that spiritual. Let's get back and set our minds on things above where Christ sits at the right hand of God. If God wants to talk to you about your health or things, let him talk to you. You know, you're not some kind of thing that, you know, everybody else, you know, because somebody else, something seems to work for them. It may never work for you. Listen to the Holy Ghost. This is what God tells you to do. And then do it and don't go try to sell it to everybody else as God gave you a diet so you write a book and tell everybody else to get on it. I'm so fed up with that trash. The Lord talked to me about that years ago. He said, I show somebody to do something for them and then they sell it like everybody in the world is supposed to be doing it. He said, I never told everybody else to be doing it. And he said, everybody else jumps on board and buys the book. Says God said. There's loads of things God told me you don't need to know. Is number one, maybe you ain't as dumb as I was. And so why would I be telling you to do it? Because he had to tell me, straightening me out about my life, not about your life. I got enough keeping me in line without trying to keep you in line. You know, there's things that I've learned over time. But there's things I know God just dealing with me. He need to deal with it. And sometimes he dealt with me with things in ways that he knew that he could get over to me on the thing. Might not work at all with you. There's things that may not work at all with you that worked on another person that God uses to use for things. God knows what makes Ed tick. He knows what makes you tick. We've lost the personal God in Christianity. We've lost him. He's been gone now for about 20 years because everything's in a book somewhere. Everything's in a book that some guy wrote. And God don't need to deal with you anymore because it's already written in a book. And when it comes down to the real book, people don't know anything about it. There's things that God wants to deal with you and talk to you personally. And I tell you, you want to have that because that's what makes God real to you. Just somebody else's book. I mean, we have Christian books out here. There's 460 billion of these things. What's his name in Africa, the great big evangelist, Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard Bonnke, some years ago, went to Los Angeles where they had the national broadcasters, Christian broadcasters meetings and publishers. And this is what he said. He said, I went there and he said, it's phenomenal. He said, Americans, he said, oh my God, all the books and stuff, Christian books. He said, it's incredible. All that America has and all these books. And he said, and what cold Christians you got. That's all these books have done is made cold Christians. People filled with knowledge, big-headed, full of knowledge, but know nothing of God. That doesn't make all books bad, but I'm going to tell you, most Christian books ain't worth toilet paper is much more valuable. And I'm telling you, it is. They wasted good paper when they could have made it to toilet paper and sent it to Venezuela. They would appreciate it a whole lot more than those stupid books. Full of junk. See, we got to come back to this thing. Let's come back to the simplicity of faith again. Let's come back to this place where the Word of God. People, you know, miss it. One of the things I want to look at today in the Scriptures, because we want to look at Scriptures, one of the things that... In Mark, I want to go to Mark, the 6th chapter. And we did a lot of meddling there, but I tell you, there's things that we need to come back and see where we were and where we walked from place, and God dealing with you. You know, God's not holding a stick over your head and slapping you and, you know, trying to put a carrot out in front of you that you're never going to get to eat. You know, that we're always chasing after. You know, I see so many Christians, they've been chasing after a carrot for 20, 30 years now, and they've never arrived at where they want to. And then they're talking about faith and trust. Hold it. God doesn't work like, he don't work that way with me. Well, I know he ain't going to do it to them. You know, Ed ain't his favorite kid, you know. It'd be nice to like to think like that, but he's not. There's just things that, you know, I've come to know listening from Kenneth Hagin. You know, you chase after something long enough, it ain't working. You stop and say, hey, hold it. I need to know something else. Something's wrong here. You need to come to that place where you can put the brakes on and say, hey, hold it. There's more that I need to know on the subject. In Mark's 6th chapter, we want to look at Jesus and something about Jesus. As we come to, as one of the things that keyed off to me today was the fact that, because I heard a minister on TV, I've been studying this and reading over these things, and a minister was teaching today, and I listened to the radio coming in, and I just wanted to tear the radio out of my car and throw it away. I thought, oh my God, this thing has so much evil coming through it. You know, I started looking for a rock station. I said, you know, let's listen to Led Zeppelin or something that is at least decent than some guy lying about Jesus who's supposed to be spirit-filled. But we find out from here that Jesus, we're going to look at Jesus went to his hometown. We're talking the areas of faith. And what we want to see is especially, there's numbers of things that you could learn or teach from this incident that happened. And I just want to be led by the Holy Spirit, what he wants to bring out. But in Mark 6, chapter verse 1, it says, then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when Sabbath had come, it says he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this man which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hand? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Now I want you to see what's going on. Jesus is visiting his hometown. He's coming back. And they said, where did you get this? And see what this morning I was listening to, because this guy was teaching that Jesus from the time... There's a Lebanon church teaching that Jesus from the time that he was little, he said, I bet it was tough on his brothers and sisters. His mom's always saying to him, you need to be more like Jesus. And they said, you know, with Jesus, he said, you played hide and seek. And he said, well, Jesus, you'll play hide and seek. He counted and he said, you know, 99, 100. And he said, then he knew where everybody was at. Well, you know, and they were laughing and talking about it. He said, it had to be, you know, hard on his brothers and sisters. And I'm thinking, did he ever read the Bible? It wasn't like that at all. The people he lived with, he was doing none of that. They wondered how he all of a sudden got something he never had. I want you to understand, get a hold of this. Jesus was a man. And he operated here as a man, not like God. You know, that minister is one of the reasons, ministry and teaching that he did, is why, one of the reasons why as a kid is I left the church, because they were always telling us to be like Jesus, but no one could be like Jesus because they kept telling us what he did as God. Well, if he did what he did as God, doesn't know what Ed's like at all. He doesn't even have a clue what Ed went through, and he's a liar. I always thought Jesus was a liar because of what they preached. They preached him as being a liar. That he was supposed to be this great, compassionate guy. He had no idea what we were going through if he's who they said. He was God, but he did not operate as God here. He lived like a man, just like the rest of us live. He didn't walk around knowing everything. He didn't know everything that was going on. He was a 12-year-old boy, and he was just like a 12-year-old. He understood certain things about his destiny. But he didn't know, he messed up, didn't know he was supposed to leave with his parents and go out of town. And they had to come back and get him. He didn't know everything. He didn't know his parents were searching for him. Thought he knew everything. He was thinking about his ministry just like a 12-year-old boy would have thought about it. Or what he was called to do. But you have these things are taught. Here we have, all of a sudden, he comes along. None understand what's happening. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit the day he was baptized by John. That was the first that the anointing came on and his ministry started, and the gifts of power. The first miracle that was done was turning water into wine. The Bible tells us in the book of John, that's the first miracle that was done at the wedding in Canaan. That was the first time. Jesus shows up at his hometown and they're offended. They aren't excited. Where'd he get all this power? Where'd he get all this stuff? They're mad because he got the stuff. They're mad. Are they mad because he was this great, nice, such a nice kid? Now, wouldn't you think everybody liked the really great, nice kid? Said, oh, yeah, if anybody ought to get power, he should. He was the great, nice kid. I know they didn't view him as that. I know living in the world today, if you're a great, nice person, most people ain't going to like you. If you're devilish and evil, there's loads of people like you. They came along. Well, he lived here with us. You know, the Bible says about this, know no man after the flesh. New Testament says, don't know anybody after the flesh. It also says in the Old Testament, that it really it makes the statement, familiarity breeds contempt. Their familiarity with the physical man breeded contempt. God anointed him to bring blessing to them, and we're going to find out they don't get the blessing because they're carnal. They're carnal. They only know people carnally. Jesus comes preaching the word. They're listening to none of it. All they're focused on is the man. The man. The man. So all they see is the man. That's all they see. We need to understand this because here these people are. Jesus goes back to his hometown. Now listen to what Jesus says about it. Now they're offended at him. He hasn't done nothing mean to nobody or hurt it. And they're offended. They're offended because you know why? Because he quoted from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me. If we look at other writings on this, we find out that's what he did, and they don't like it. See, there's people today are the same way. They look at things. I know from myself, just like my personal family don't pay no attention to me concerning ministry and Christianity. They know Ed. They know 30 years of Ed living like a devil. And they all are in the flesh, even the Christian ones about it. They're all in the flesh. And they got an anointed brother that knows God, and they don't pay no attention to it. Just like there's been people in and out of this church and go to this church do the same thing. Don't always try to get to know ministers so much in the natural. Don't always try, because it doesn't hurt them, it hurts you. People want to get, always getting close to something. You know, best thing to get close to is the anointing. That's the best thing to get close to. Because familiarity with them, familiarity breeds contempt. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own relatives in his own house. Jesus had that problem in his own house. See, that guy preaching was lying. In his own house, his mama wasn't telling the rest of them to be like Jesus. She thought he was weird. Because he's not like everybody else. His mama goes at one time with his brothers to try to get him to pick him up to take him home. And the Bible tells us because she thinks he's crazy. See, I'm going to tell you, you need to understand. You're going to walk, follow God. You're an oddball. If you haven't noticed, if you're going to follow God, most people would never notice. They never notice God's involved in it. Just think, Jesus is perfect, never sinned. And mama thinks he's crazy. She had an angel appear to her, told her that she this is Virgin Mary. How the Catholics did what they did with her is beyond me. She had the Immaculate Conception. This is immaculate insanity is what it is. All that happened because of God, not because Mary was brilliant. She just happened to be a vessel used. Dear Lord, God talked through a donkey. I mean, holy mackerel. You know, I'm at the point, you know, the fact that God would use me, what a big deal. I mean, if he couldn't anoint people to use them, I mean, he ain't much of a God anyhow if he couldn't anyway. But yeah, we make such big deals out of all this stuff and these things. And everybody misses what's spiritual, sitting around looking at everything carnal. Just don't do that. You know, there's even from the standpoint, there's people get messed up in ministry out of it. People get nutty, but they have an anointing from God. And God uses them. You know, get what you can get out of the anointing. You know, the rest of what they do, forget it. There's things, the ministers, I don't pay no much attention to a lot of things they're doing or saying. I let it alone. But they have an anointing for healing and stuff. Well, if you need it, go get it. God anoints it for them to heal people. They're not anointed because they're so wonderful. God, you know, God called me. I am called from my mother's womb. I did not get called to the ministry because I had done anything to deserve to be in the ministry. I have no clue what on earth God would even call me for. Why would he do it? You'll notice this. I've one of those, especially you take like a guy like Kenneth Hagin. Why would God have picked a man out of a crowd that's on the bottom of the barrel, would turn around to use him in the position he's done? That, to a man's sense, that'd be the last person you'd pick. Why did he pick him out? Why did he save his life? Why did he do it all that he did to bring this about, to bring that gift to us that has been rejected by most? Look at John the Baptist. Israel rejected him. God don't turn around and choose what looks cool and what looks good. I found a lot of times God chose the goofball. He chose Ed. I don't know why. I said, why did you choose the goofball? I don't know. He just seems to do this kind of stuff. I don't know why. I think there's guys, to me, if I would look from a natural perspective, there'd be people that I think would be better at it. But he didn't call them. He didn't anoint them. So you sit down and look at the goofball and say, yeah, he's weird. Yeah, he's weird enough to let God use him, so let alone. You know, it's one thing is about it, you get too brilliant, you might think God uses you because of you. What's the worst thing you can do to mess things up? Hallelujah. He hasn't chosen us because of us. But it says Jesus, verse 5, now he could not do mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. In Matthew 13, 58 says this, now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He couldn't do mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, I want you to understand this. This is really an interesting thing that you need to understand is why God sometimes in areas can move, and I'm talking about a region or an area. We find out that he goes to his home country, and in his home country, the unbelief in his own country stopped the move of God for the whole place because the majority aren't flowing with God. They're in the flesh, and it affects everybody there. I've ministered in numbers of places in this world, from places here in the United States to other countries. And there's places you go, you can do things, and places you can't do things because of the people of the region. There's lots of places here in America you can't go and do nothing. You can't go and minister things because of unbelief. People, Christians, in unbelief. I mean, just like in Fiji, I would go from one town to another town in Fiji and you'd think Ed was a different minister. God would give me, when I go to Fiji, God would give me a message to preach in the churches. As he usually gave me one message and I was supposed to preach that in every church that I went. I was supposed to preach that message there. And I'm a guy like, you know, I always like to listen to, you know, whatever God says to do. And there's places that you go to and a little bit would happen. Another place I'd preach that same message and, dear Lord, you'd have thought my words. The sky fell on them then. I tell you, power of God come and all kind of things. It gets so darn anointed. It's like, oh my God. Go to the next place to preach. And it's like, well, when we get done here, I'm going to lunch. It's the same thing. But you know what? It's the spirit among the place, people. Christian people, people are in unbelief. They don't move in faith. Jesus has that problem here. Just a minute. Jesus was anointed by the Spirit without measure. I want you to understand, Definitely, you have noticed that Ed is anointed by measure. I am not anointed, and I never met a man that is anointed other than by measure. We are. The people have different anointings, you know. There's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Jesus stood in every one of those offices. We find if you follow this through the scriptures and you look at Jesus' ministry, he qualified in every one of those offices. No other man qualifies in all those offices. He was the fulfillment of all this stuff. He had anointing without measure. You, in the body of Christ, we don't have a need for that because all believers can be anointed. And we have the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. And these anointings are divided among people. And there's no need for anybody, one person, you know. Ain't one person going to be Jesus. We're not going to be. We are anointed to carry out different parts of his ministry, and we're anointed for different things in his ministry. And but Jesus had the anointing without measure. And when you look at Jesus operating under the anointing and he goes to a place and he can't move, there's definitely a problem because there's not a power problem, is there? He has the anointing without measure. Yet he can only lay, as one translation says, that he could only lay hands on people with minor ailments. You know, he got somebody healed with a headache or something like that, you know, and did the things. Here he is, but I mean, he is available to do miracles and cannot in an area because of unbelief. Unbelief stops. This is one thing that I've learned over the years. You know, is people, you know, sit around and we can talk about a lot of different things, but you and I as individuals need to fulfill our part. Every believer needs to learn to develop their faith. Too many believers are waiting for other people to develop their faith, and they don't read. They're a drag on the crowd. They're a drag on the crowd. People who sit back and just play the religious game and let other people develop and do things, and want to think they're going to do things, are causing problems in the body of Christ. People who don't develop their faith. We need to understand the importance of it. We see here a whole town. Because he grew up there, they shut off. They shut the word of God off. They just stop it. And what happens? The sick pay the price. The sick pay the price. It has never changed, folks. It's still going on today. It's still going on today. And that's why each believer needs to develop themselves and develop. We need to set an atmosphere of faith. We need to set an atmosphere so God can do what he wants to do. So God can fulfill. Just like, you know, we had looked at the teaching last week, as you look at the, you know, the power of God was present to heal. Nobody's getting healed. Power of God's present to heal, but people aren't getting healed just because the power is present to heal. And so here we see this and how sad it is. It goes to verse 6, it says here, Mark, it said, and he marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled. What would make him marvel? Their unbelief. Why? Because they're sitting in a synagogue, they're playing church. The scriptures are read to them, and they don't believe them. They're so focused on the guy. Well, isn't this the carpenter's son? Hold it. My words. What's going on here? He lived around here. We know he's brothers. We know he's sisters. What does that mean? When you're in the flesh, that's all important. You know, better go, you know, look up your heritage and lineage and all that kind of stuff. Better get that stuff all worked out there. I'll tell you, found out where you come from, where your coat of arms. My God, my brother went with you one thing to our family, back to our coat of arms. We didn't have a coat of arms. We had a beer bottle. That's what we had. We were a bunch of drunks. Dear God, I mean, like everybody comes from royalty. If you buy those stuff and go through those, dear Lord, it shows your ignorance. There's not one person ever looks that stuff up, don't end up with a coat of arms, like they come from some royalty. You might have been owned by somebody who was royalty, but there's a good chance. I never got to royalty till I got born again, and now I got royalty. You can check out my lineage. It's a great one. Glory to God. Goes right back to Father God. Hallelujah. Until that time, it was a beer bottle. That's where my elders came from. That's what they said. That God invented beer so the Irish wouldn't rule the world. I think he was bright if he did. God, you wouldn't have wanted us in charge. Oh, my. Sheesh. Need to laugh a little bit. Keep you from crying. But see, people get all hooked up in all that natural and over the natural side and miss the spiritual. You don't want to do that. You don't want to miss the spiritual. You want to know, that's one thing I really admired about Randy Gregg. He says this all the time. He said, lots of times before he starts to preach, he says, what's God doing and where we're at today? I want to know what he's involved in. There's a lot of good things going on out here, but I don't believe he's involved in a lot of it. I want to know what he's doing and what he's involved in. And I think, that's what I want to find out. What's God involved in? And I've found this over the years. Sometimes what God involved in didn't look to me that was what he was involved in till I started to search it and realize, man, because I was looking at natural things. I was looking at and wasn't seeing at all in what he was involved in. What was he doing? What was he behind? What was he trying to promote? And what was I promoting? God sent Jesus here promoting health and healing to his hometown and they don't get it. How sad. God sends his best to his people and they don't get it. They don't get it because they're all focused on who he was naturally. And you know what the whole thing of it is? They didn't even know who he was naturally. They didn't even know that. Their own ideas. One of the sad things today in Christianity is most Christians know Jesus after the flesh. Most Christians today don't know him as God. He's not a man anymore like he was a man walking down here in a regular human body. He's in a glorified body. All authority in heaven and earth belong to him. He is ruling, reigning over everything. Father God is not. He gave the rule to Jesus. Jesus is basically right out now over us. It's God. It's all God. He's all God to us. Thank God he's our representative in a glory. We're going to get a glorified suit, a new one, because he has a glorified suit. We're going to get one like he got. He bought it for us. Hallelujah. So it's already on order. Don't worry about it. They're making them all up. And they'll be ready to go right away as soon as he gets back. Hallelujah. We'll get in them. But all that's, but we need to know him and know him today. He came and did what he did in the earth here was to deliver man. Now he is the deliverer. The delivering's done. The deliverance completed. The scriptures about him in the Old Testament from Isaiah are fulfilled. They are not something we're trying to get fulfilled. He is already that. He went from the things of saying, by his stripes we are healed, to Peter saying, by his stripes you were healed, past tense, you were. His deliverance has already been made complete. It's already been made complete. See, but most Christians are looking at Jesus of the past, Jesus of the past. No, that's that Jesus, that's all fulfilled. He's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords. He's our elder brother. We've been made like him. Oh my God. We've been made like him. Glory to God. We've been made like him. This wonderful Jesus. Now there's a lot of things we can learn about God and God's operation by looking at Jesus. I mean, we look at him and look what he did. We can see things. I'm not going to get over today to the scriptures and stuff because I'm not going to go into the things that some of the other scriptures I was going to go to in the areas of healing because there's things we can learn. But I want you really today, and we're just looking at this, and I think the Holy Spirit is emphasizing, because of looking into the flesh and getting over into the flesh, become spiritually minded. God dealing with prosperity and dealing with health, he's dealing with it with a spiritual mind, not a physical mind. That's one of the things that people keep trying to look at healing, divine healing, from a natural perspective. If you do that, you're never going to hook up with it. It's not natural. There's nothing natural about it. When Jesus talked to Kenneth Hagin about divine healing and going to a doctor, he said divine healing is without any kind of physical help whatsoever. No physical aid. So it isn't about changing diet. It's not about going to the doctor and taking medicine or something like that. It's not those things. That doesn't mean that God couldn't say something to you about it. The Lord spoke to me years ago. Now, he only did this one time. He did this to me. So this is why you never want to carry anything out to making some kind of rule and regulation. But I was out running one day, which you can tell I don't do much of that anymore, other than I run to the table and things like that. But I was out running one day, and the Lord spoke to, just clearly said to me, just as clearly, I knew it was the Lord speaking to me, he said, you need to take some extra iron in your diet. Well, I had generally taken a multiple type vitamin. I had taken that, and it had iron in it. But he said, you need to take more iron. I thought, well, what is this about? Well, I just didn't question about it. In those days, I don't think I knew as much, so I would yield a lot quicker. Today, I might question him about it. I didn't even ask the Lord. I just knew the Lord spoke to me. So I went and bought a vitamin that had more iron in it. I started taking the more iron vitamin. I started doing that. And so I would give blood regularly, and I went to give blood one day, and I went, and the guy who was taking blood, he took my pulse and stuff before taking my blood, you know, they check here and do your blood pressure and stuff. He took, and he said, oh, man, your pulse is very low. He said, are you a runner? I said, yeah. He said, oh, that's why. Because my pulse would drop down to like 30 or sometimes lower. But that was normal for if you ran a lot and that kind of stuff. So I said, yeah, I run. He said, do you take extra iron? Now, he's a Christian guy. He's a spiritual Christian. I said, that's really interesting because I said, I was out running one day here a month or so ago, and the Lord spoke to me and told me to take more iron. And he said to me, that's good to do. He said, when you do a lot of running, he said, your blood pumps through your body a lot faster rate. And he said, the red corpuscles sometimes get damaged because of the speed of the flow of your blood through your body. But he said, if you take extra iron, he said, they recover nothing. You said, never notice there's ever a problem. He said, it'll never be a problem. He said, that's God telling you that and that stuff. But see, I didn't know that at that time. I knew nothing about that. But that was God speaking to me about doing the wisdom in doing that. Now, you know, that was one thing that he said to me about, you know, doing. So in other words, he was doing something preventative for me that I needed to know, something that I could do that would prevent me having a problem to have to be healed. So he showed me something preventative. But he doesn't come along and every time something comes up, well, Ed, you need to change your diet, you need to do this, and you need to eat more of this or do that or do this or the other things. I found out sometimes just listening to your own body, if you listen on the inside, you get cravings for certain things to eat and to do and to learn to follow that. I've learned that over. In fact, I've read things about that where they said, you know, why do certain people get certain cravings for certain things? And they said about just certain things in your body, certain vitamins and things in your body. And all of a sudden, you'll start getting a craving to eat certain things and you'll want to be eating certain stuff. It's because of that. So you listen over listening to things, paying attention to things. Sometimes our body's trying to tell us certain things and trying to talk to us about stuff. We don't need necessarily always a revelation from heaven. See, God created, made things pretty unique. People don't pay any attention to it. You know, people we just generally ignore stuff, you know, and don't pay attention to what is important. You know, there's times that I think my body's telling me, you don't need to be eating that one. And my body's right. You know, but I've never, you know, had the God tell me, don't touch, don't taste, don't ever do this, don't do this, don't do that. You start getting into those things, you're going to find God doesn't operate there in those kind of things. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't. You end up in a Christianity and everything gets all messed up. And after a while, it's about all these nice little rules that people follow. And they'll talk about faith when there's no faith involved in any of it. After a while, you get over these things and they're trying to sell it to everybody else that they all have to do it too. But just listening to yourself. You have the Holy Spirit. Just think, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Think you can't talk about you to what you might need or what you might want? It's one of the things, if the Holy Spirit's job is to show us things to come, I'm sure he could keep us out of some troubles physically sometimes in the areas. But it's going to be listening into the Spirit. It's not becoming physical. It's being spiritual. Him showing us things to come, showing things to do. And so listen to them. And that's one of the things, the big thing is learn to do, learn to become spiritually minded, not physically minded on everything. Because I found out it don't change things. When God told Kenneth Hagin, he said, you know, if a person goes to a doctor, if they do that, he said, pray for them for a quick recovery. Now, he didn't say they were going to get divine healing. They're not going to. They're going to get what they're in the direction that they're heading for the person's faith is. See, we've been studying this thing of faith and looking at people getting healed. Did people get healed come along and say, you know, when the woman with the issue of blood, she said, when I touched the hem of his garment, what did she have to do? She had to touch the hem of his garment. She didn't get it some other way, did she? There's nothing the matter. If you can't believe for divine healing, there's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. Have your faith in a direction, though. Go to the doctor and believe you're going to get a recovery. Don't go to the doctor and see what happens. Most Christians are not even using their faith going to a doctor. They don't even use their faith when they go there. Just, you know, whatever the doctor says, and they go repeat everything the doctor said and how long it's going to take them to recover, how long it's that. They're not believing for a quick recovery. They'll say, I want to believe for a quick recovery, but I'm going to be off 8 weeks. Well, you're off 8 weeks. You ain't getting a quick recovery. It ain't happening. So you got to use your faith in your area of what you're going to do and walk in. You never go without using your faith. And see, people have to, you know, to me, this was common sense of years ago in the areas of, you know, faith. Today, it's not common at all because people don't think it's any sense. People just do everything in the natural and tack the word faith onto it and just act like then it becomes faith. We just tack the name faith. I'm trusting the Lord. In what? I'm just believing. I'm hoping I don't die till tomorrow. I just whoa, we're just trying to get through this thing. It's in the areas of actually acting in faith. Act on what the Word of God says to do. Find out what God's Word says to do. Just like with these people. Here we find out unbelief. Unbelief stops the power of God. These people could have probably quoted the scriptures that Jesus read to them. Were they in faith? Because they could quote scriptures? No. No, because they weren't acting on those words. They didn't, you know. Who is this guy? God used him. You're going to use anybody in town. Look at me. I'm the guy that had the synagogue. Dear Lord, I should be the guy he uses. Huh. Back in the charismatic renewal, that's what happened among, and I'm just going to, the Assemblies of God churches and numbers of them. And there was ones among the what we call the Pentecostal and the holiness churches, Pentecostal holiness churches. All of them got over, and a bunch of them got into the thing. They got all offended because God was filling Presbyterians and, you know, Methodists and Catholics with the Holy Ghost, and all this stuff was happening. And they were, well, if this was God, this would be happening in our church. Well, he couldn't through their unbelief. He couldn't do it in their churches. They're full of unbelief. They thought God used them because they went to a church and believed in being spirit-filled. I don't mean nothing. Kenneth Hagin said this about healing. Kenneth Hagin was a Baptist preacher. He started off as a Baptist, not even full of the Holy Ghost. And he said he found one thing when he came over to the Holy Ghost people. He said, when I was preaching in pastor in a Baptist church, we had more people healed than the Pentecostals did. Because he didn't get healed because they were, you don't get healed because you're spirit-filled or you believe in being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Healing's done by faith. And he said, I knew how to be healed by faith. That's how I got off a deathbed. And he said, I taught our people how to use their faith and get healed. And he said, we had more healings in our church than they had in theirs because they didn't know how to operate in faith. They only knew how to operate in gifts of the Spirit. So they could only get healed when they were in operation. And when they weren't in operation, they didn't get healed. He said, we could get healed anytime in our church because we use faith. So we could get healed anytime. So a Baptist church had more healing than the Pentecostal churches. Faith is what God's interested in, not your denomination or who you think you hang out with. That changes nothing. It's your faith that makes the difference. Your faith. And see, we need to understand that. We need to come to that. Just like with him. That being in a Baptist church, they're having more healings and more stuff going on than the Pentecostal churches have. He's teaching faith, and he's teaching people how to believe God for healing. And he said the people learn how to do it. And he said, we saw people healed. And he said, I was very disappointed when I went over among the Pentecostals. And I know what he felt like. When God first let me go to church and sent to a church, and I became disappointed when I come over among the Spirit-filled people, because I thought, man, these people don't know much about God at all. They don't know much about anything about God. They're all out here in this la-la land, but when it comes down to faith and how to believe God, they don't know. They don't know. It's faith that pleases God. It isn't because somebody's anointed with something or somebody's great. You can believe God, God's happy with you. You can believe God, he thinks you're pretty cool. But you're definitely this, a minority. You're a minority. You can believe God, you're a minority. Hallelujah. Just the idea that you want to believe God make you a minority today. There's just so much today going on out here. God is looking for somebody that has some faith. You know, just using faith in life, just trusting God in little things and every day going along. That's all he's asking us to do. If you do those things, your faith will develop and grow. But use faith. Get over, find out what the Bible says, believe what the Bible says, and then just start walking in and start doing it. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things of waking up in the morning, you know, we have the Holy Ghost in us. Talk like you have the Holy Ghost in you. You know, get up in the morning, say, thank God I'm led by the Holy Spirit today. See, there is no Christianity without being led by the Holy Spirit. The Lord told me as a baby Christian, he said, you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. The Holy Spirit's in him. His whole design that Jesus put him there was to guide you and lead you into the truth. That's what he's there for. Now, is he just going to do that? No, he will do that if you operate in faith in it, if you start saying the right things. If you start saying, I'm led by the Spirit, and say, well, I don't understand, God don't speak to me, and I don't just seem to get this, and I just don't seem to get that. I just don't, you know, I'll tell you what, I read and I study, but I don't know why things just don't, you know, your mouth has kept you where you're at. The Holy Ghost lives in me, and he guides me and leads me in the truth every day. Every time I read the Word, revelation comes to me. That's his job, is to bring it to me. Jesus ain't a liar. Jesus put him in me for that purpose. And if I ain't showing the truth, he must have went to sleep, and I'm going to tell that bad boy he better get waking up. That he ain't doing his job. He don't ever go to sleep, and he don't sleep and don't slumber. But what you say and what you talk, see, if you aren't using your faith, and many people never use their faith. They only use their faith when something bad happens in life they're trying to fix. Well, if you haven't learned to walk by faith in between there, you don't know how to hook up with the Holy Spirit, Him guiding you and leading the truth. When something bad comes, you're probably not going to get hooked up to it anyhow. It's learning to be led by the Spirit every day. Hallelujah. I got the Holy Ghost. If I need to know anything about anything future today, by the end of the day, if I need to know something that I need to know, it's important to me by the end of the day, I'll know it. Hallelujah. Before I get there. I'm not going to get run over the truck crossing the street. I'm led by the Holy Ghost. You know how many times I have just went out to drive someplace, I get a sense, just sometime Lebanon, driving across town. Yeah, the Holy Ghost is interest. I'm driving across town, maybe a certain place, go, just drive this shortest distance and go there, and it just comes up in me, don't go that way today. You drive over here, and I'll drive out around. And you find out there was an accident, something happened there, or there's something blocking traffic or something, this. Holy Ghost interest in you getting across town. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't learn to pick that stuff up, there's loads of stuff you'll never pick up. You got to learn to pick that stuff up. You got to learn to listen to those things inside of you going on. That's the Holy Spirit leading you. And if God wants you to prosper and be in health, as your soul prospers, see, your soul got to be tied to your inner man, and your soul not tied to your outer man. If it's tied to your outer man, you're always going to get fed outer man stuff. That's all you're going to have. And you don't want that. You want inner man stuff. Because this is where prosperity that God's talking about, this is where the health that God's talking about comes from. It's not the stuff, it's not natural, it's not physical. It's something spiritual. The same spirit that raised Jesus from, raised you from, is raised from the dead, raised Jesus, is dwelling in you, quickening your mortal body. It's something going on in your spirit. It's not something going on physically happening. But see, when you get tied to it spiritually, then you can call it to your outer man. You can call it to the outside. But till you have it on the inside, you can't call it to the outside. Your mouth, tied to your spirit, not tied to your flesh. Tied to your spirit. Most people, they think God's going to heal them because they're a Christian and this and that. And because he said so in his word. But it's not inside of them. Himself already took my infirmities. I'm not trying to get healed. Quit working at it. Quit working at this thing. Well, if I could just find, maybe I ought to do this, and maybe if I did that, maybe if I went over here and did this, and I bought this lotion and potion, or I went to see this guy, or if I did this, or I did that. I'll tell you, first getting faith would be very helpful. Very helpful. Too many people have gone too many lotions and potions and stuff, and none of it's worked, and they keep saying they're following and trusting God, and God's telling them to do it. I'm sorry. God tells you to do something, it is going to work. If He tells you to do something and it don't work, what was the point of that? You know what He's taught me? Don't obey Him. If you went to a doctor and every time you went, he told you to do something, you did it and it never worked. If you keep going and seeing him, you need a brain transplant with a rat. You ain't got no sense. But we put Jesus in that classification. He tells us to do something. You know, sometimes we're just dumb and miss it. But don't just sit out there and try to justify ourselves and keep doing things. Jesus tells you to do something, it's going to work. It's going to work. Hallelujah. And see, this is where the confidence you have to have. This is why it's being led by the Spirit. I just encourage you, we need to be led by the Spirit of God, you and I. And let Him direct us and lead us. Just think about it. No matter how you may have messed up and what you might have done stupid concerning your health. Maybe you did something dumb. I don't know. Maybe you do a thing wrong. But the whole thing, the Bible says, Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. It says that Jesus Christ, when that statement was made, spoke of Isaiah's fulfillment of the prophecy as if Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, did He do that? You must answer that question for yourself. People say He bore our sin, my sin on the cross. I'm going to tell you what, He bore my sickness as much as He bore my sin. I have no place to believe He bore my sin if He didn't bear my sickness, because it says He bore my sin, my sickness. He carried my pains. It says He's already done that. So I want you to think about this. Maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've done something that isn't exactly right. Maybe you've done something. But listen. He didn't bear that sickness. He didn't bear that pain. Because He knew back in the past you were going to do something dumb, so He didn't take that one on the cross. He going to let you have that one. See, that's when you get over all this stuff that people do about all these different little lotions and potion stuff and all this stuff. They make the Bible out to be a lie. And you got to watch it, because it's faith destroyer. So like I said, God may tell you to do, maybe do a certain thing, but first you believe that He, this Jesus Himself, already took your sicknesses, just like He took your sin. Is He going to hold it against you because I'll tell you, Mike's going to commit a sin 3 years after he gets born again, so I'm not going to take that one. I'm just going to leave him have that sin. I'm going to, Now, if you preach that doctrine, people go insane. Say, no, that's crazy. That's crazy. Why? We take it on the side of sickness and disease, and we throw it out there and preach all kind of crazy stuff. Believe all kind of crazy stuff. No, he already took them, just like he took our sin. He took my sin 2,000 years ago. That's why even as a Christian, if I mess up, I can confess my sin. He's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. He don't say, oh yeah, but you might mess up tomorrow, so maybe we'll let him hold this one. What do you think? He doesn't. He doesn't. What about our sickness? Maybe I messed up and I need to do something, change something in my diet. Let's let God deal with that one. First, let's get in faith. You know what? He took my sin and my stupidity too on that cross. He took Mr. Stupid and nailed him on that cross too. He nailed Mr. Stupid there. And he took my infirmities. He bore my sickness. He took my sin. He already did that. That's a done deal. That is a done deal. Get that into your mind that that's a dumb deal. When you think about Jesus, this is what he already took for me. Now, I might have to deal with some things and maybe get myself straightened out, and he needs to give me some information and things. But he is not never working against me. The healing part, he has already declared that he's done that for me. Him wanting me well is a settled thing. Oh, he made me sick to teach me. If that is true, then he didn't bear your sicknesses. That is your job. Anybody that preaches that's preaching a lie. Whether, and I'm not saying, you know, they're trying to, but that's what they're preaching, lies. He couldn't have done that. If you have to bear it to learn, then he didn't bear it. Then this is one thing we know for sure. Then you're going to have to bear some of your sin. And that's his plan. He didn't take it all. Man, I don't want to go to that doctor. I don't want to go there. And you don't want to go there either. You get it settled. See, and this is the things that, you know, back when we first, when I first came in the kingdom, they taught healing. Man, I just, all I ever thought was God wanted me well. That's all I ever thought is God wanted me well. That's been lost in the church. Because that's all they preach to us, is God wants you well. He took your infirmities. He bore your sicknesses. That's what he did. He went to that cross so you could be well, Ed. He went there as much as he wanted you to be born again. He wanted your body healed. Just as much as he went to that cross. Man, I couldn't see no difference between healing and being born again. I just thought it was the package. I thought it what it was. And it's been changed. And it's been changed by the church. It's been changed by diet. It's been changed by all this stuff. It's been changed. And it's changed the gospel. We've tried to turn around and conform the gospel to our diets and to our recipes and our stuff. You never conform the diet. You conform everything to the Word. You take it and lay it over in the Word. And that doesn't mean sometimes God will tell you something about your diet. But the whole thing of it is, He's already took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. He doesn't plan on you bearing them. He doesn't plan on you bearing your sin. Man, you may deserve it, but it does not matter to him. He knows maybe you're going to mess up bunches tomorrow. That matters not to him. He still has already taken all of your sin on that cross of all humanity. One of the worst things that grieves my heart so bad is to think that anybody lost in this earth who leaves and goes to hell and find out they never went to hell because of their sin. Why? Because Jesus took everybody's sin. People are in hell because they haven't received Christ. It ain't about sin. It's about Christ. Can you imagine spending eternity in hell and your sins were forgiven? Jesus Christ took every one of them and you're spending all this time in hell and you, God forgave you through Christ Jesus. But they never received Christ. Because the church world today preaches, oh, you don't want to get saved. You need to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. One of the biggest lies ever told. No, you don't. You receive. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Not asking forgiveness of sin. How horrible it is. All the people lost since Jesus was raised from the dead. All the people are lost. And they're in hell. Not because of their sin. They're in hell because they didn't receive the one who took their sin. Jesus took the... Jesus ain't forgiving you of your sin the day you came and accepted Jesus. God said he forgave your sin 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ on that cross died and went to hell. That was the finished. That day, that same day, your sickness was put on him. And he went and took all of your sickness. One of people living down, Christians will leave this earth and found out that they were healed when they got to heaven, when they were here on the earth trying to get healed, and found out when they get to heaven, well, you were healed. He already took your infirmities and bore your sickness. You were healed, you never received it. You kept trying to get healed instead of receiving your healing. Folks, this is just good gospel preaching. The gospel is better than 90% of ministers preach it. It's better. It's greater. It is more glorious. Hallelujah. It's not something we earned. It's something we got. Hallelujah. Accept what you got. Accept today what you have already gotten from God. You're already set apart by Him. You already got it. You've been made holy by Him. He did that. Through faith, you got His holiness. Through faith in Him, you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God looks at you as righteous. I know Ed. Sometimes he don't seem so righteous. But God don't view Ed that way. And you know what? If I'm going to walk by faith, I got to quit making the guy in the mirror me. The guy on the inside is me. It's the giant on the inside. It's the guy in there of faith. It's the one that's like God. It's the one that's like God on the inside. That's who. Know no man after the flesh. That includes you knowing you. Your faith will be diminished greatly if you only know you by the flesh. I'll tell you what. I know what the inner man, Ed, is like, and he's a lot better than the outer guy. He's a lot better than the outer guy. Hallelujah. You know what? He loves God more than anything. The outer man, sometimes I got to question him. What on earth do you want to do? You're stupid. But the inner man, he loves God. I mean, the Lord even spoke to me. He said, "You love me with all your heart." Man, I look on the outside. Sometimes I think, my words, I'm glad he's looking on the inside. I'm glad he's not judging by outer appearance. Hallelujah. He's looking on it. And I want to tell you what, you're much more on the inside than you see in the outside. If you only see you by the inside, you don't know you. You don't know you. You have more faith than you think. But you let, by knowing yourself just from the outside and catering to the outside, you diminish what you are. The inside isn't great, but you don't let it come out. And that faith one, that man on the inside, faith man wants to step out. I tell you, he wants to put the red suit on with the S. And he wants to come stepping out of there. He wants to step out and say, "Glory to God, I'm a child of God. I'm the righteousness of God. The Holy Ghost is in me. I'm led by the Holy Spirit every day. Hallelujah. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. Glory to God. That's me. Hallelujah." People say, "Well, you don't look it." That's right, because everybody's looking on the outside. You look at the inside and this inner man, he's prosperous and he's healthy. Hallelujah, he ain't sick. My inner man ain't got no sickness. My inner man ain't been sick one day since I got born again. He was a sick, perverted idiot when I was unsaved, but that guy's dead. God killed him and gave me a new spirit. Hallelujah. And he did to you too. And any man be in Christ, you're a new creation. You're a new creation. You ain't got a past. Why do you keep looking at the past? You ain't got one. Hallelujah. Best thing you ever had in your life is not have a past. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You dig up your past, God ain't got one to dig up for you. You can't dig the old man up again. He's gone. He's dead. Hallelujah. Dead men don't do nothing. They just lay there and look stupid. People look in the casket and say, Oh, don't they look so good? Yeah, they're dead. Isn't that? Everybody walk in and find a body laying inside a thing or think a person. Oh, they look the picture of health. I'll tell you what. They're in a casket. Going to throw them in the ground. Oh, they look so good, don't they? I just stand around there. See, people see the dumbest stuff. I always get a kick out of that, listening to people talk. Say, yeah, if I went over and laid down like that, you'd start crying. Oh, my God, he died. Oh. You walk around talking crazy stuff, dear Lord, I'll tell you. But inside you got life, and I'll tell you, you live out, you got the life of God in you. What more would you want? What more? You have the life of God. Hallelujah. That's you. You're a person of faith. You were designed that way. You were never designed not to believe God. You were born again in your new spirit. The whole point of its design is to believe God. The old things have gone away. All things become new. All things are of God. That's what's going on the inside of you. Oh, I'm just trying to hook up with God. What for? Can you get any more hooked up than you are? Dear Lord, you put the Holy Ghost in you, made you temple of the Holy Ghost. You're trying to get hooked up with God? What do you want? But see, when you listen to all this teaching and stuff on the outside that teaches natural stuff, I'm just like everybody else. Well, I'm not. I'm like very few people. You're like very few people, whether you know it or not. Now, you may have talked about yourself being like other people, but we're not. We're not like other people. We're God's people. We're temples of God. Believe me, everybody ain't. Hallelujah. You're a temple of God. I mean, just think, I mean, it's a reality of fact. Every place you go, when you lay down in bed at night to go to sleep, you're a temple of God. God's inside of you. God goes to bed with you. Man, you want to keep your flesh happy? Believe these things. I'll tell you what, your flesh won't ever get scared at night or worry about what's going to happen during the night. What if an asteroid hits? Oh, my God, it's going to be me and Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I go to bed at night. I don't ever have to worry. It's me and God wherever I go. I get up in the morning. It's me and God. I go out, put food in this body and doing this thing. Holy Ghost is right there with God's right there to talk to me. God's right there to fellowship with me in everything that I do. God's there. I get in the car. If you're good in the car to drive to work, you and God just got in the car to go to work. You and, or whatever you're doing to work, you and God are doing it. You and God. God's going along with you. I got that revelation as a young Christian, only been born again a couple of months. Sitting in a church where a wedding was going on that I know God wasn't in the wedding. It was a bunch of pagans is what it was. And even the minister was a pagan, I believe. And I said, God, were you ever in this place? And I'll never forget, as a baby Christian, just said those words. And he said, you're here, aren't you? I said, oh my God, yeah, you're right. Wherever I go, God is gone. Man, that day that thing lit inside of me, and it's been like that ever since. People who say go places and say, oh, it's so terrible. I've been places, been horrible to be around, but God's always with Ed. God's always there. If Ed's there, God's shown up. If you showed up, God's there. It might not be in anybody else, but God showed up because you're there. My, my, my. I tell you, if the church would just get that revelation alone, all this search for God would end. And God would start manifesting himself. As long as the church is looking for God, they can't see him. Hallelujah. We've been found, folks. He found us. He moved in. He's already there. Stand to your feet. We're going along in these things, but folks, speak these things to yourself. Talk these things. Talk what you really are. Call yourself a person of faith. I don't care if your faith just seems to diminish, don't seem to be doing nothing. Hallelujah. You've been designed to believe the Word of God. Say you believe the Word of God. Hallelujah. You're not going to get anywhere saying something else. Sometimes you might feel skeptical. I'll tell you what, over the years I'd say, when I read the Word of God and I see what it says, I believe it, it's true. God's Word's true. It doesn't matter what anything else says. God's Word's true. Oh, I have said that so many thousands of times over the years, and sometimes I've said it and I thought, boy, it don't look like nothing's going the way that it's supposed to be going. But God's word is true, and I will not be moved from the word. Whatever I see going on around me is a lie if it doesn't line up with that Bible. That Bible is a true book, and it's a book that God gave me, and He gave me the Holy Spirit to make that thing alive in me. That thing's real in me, and that's the whole purpose of it. And the Holy Spirit is not a liar. He don't ever go to sleep. He's just like the Father. He don't ever slumber. He's always there. He is ready to bring the word to life in me. Jesus said, told His disciples, don't worry about what you got to say when you get there. The Holy Ghost will bring it to your remembrance. Hallelujah. What I need at any time, and what you need at any time, the Holy Ghost can bring it to your remembrance of what you need. And you have to have that confidence, because naturally, sometimes I don't know what to do. Naturally, I don't know what to say sometimes. But I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost knows what to say. And I know over the years, I've had the Holy Ghost bring wisdom out of me over a split second of things. And I think when after the incident takes place, I think, dear God, God had that wisdom was inside there. By the Holy Ghost was in there. I had no idea mentally what to do. The outer man was at loss. But something rose on the inside. It was the Holy Ghost in there and brought to my remembrance. Hallelujah. There's times that I've walked along and I've heard sometimes, even like with Kenneth Hagin, tapes that I've listened to many years earlier. And I needed wisdom in the area. And I asked the Lord for wisdom. And just a period of time, it was as if somebody had just turned on that tape or that CD. And I heard a portion of it in Kenneth Hagin's voice on a teaching exactly what I needed to hear. I've had that happen time and time again. Not just Kenneth Hagin. I've read books, and I'm reading a certain thing in a book, and all of a sudden comes to my remembrance of that book, and all of a sudden I remember certain lines of that book just come right back to me, exactly what I needed of wisdom at that time. I've had those kinds of things happen time and time and time again. Wisdom comes. Natural wisdom to take care of things. Many times I've had this happen. I've had how to fix something or what to do with something. Had no idea. Sitting down, you know, do your best. Go look, research online and look up things and try to find, can't come up with ideas of what to do about a situation. And all of a sudden, God gave me a piece of wisdom. Sometimes it was so simple. And I think about it, I thought, you know, in my natural mind, if I tried to think that direction, I'd have just complicated things. And all of a sudden, just a simple thing of what to do about that. It's the Holy Spirit. See, He's interested in every area of your life. He's interested in it all. In every bit of it. And He'll bring that wisdom to you. That's why you want to walk around and talk like He's there. You magnify Him and glorify. That's God. If you don't talk about the Holy Spirit in you, you're not saying anything to God and you're not really worshiping God much. You recognize the Holy Spirit in you and you give voice to that recognition that He's there and He's God. I always say, Holy Spirit, you're going to do in me what Jesus said, because you can't, you're just like Him. You can't lie. You're going to take what belongs to Jesus and you're going to show it to me. You're always going to do that, Holy Spirit, because you're righteous. You're Holy Spirit. You will always do what's right, Holy Spirit. He's glad to hear those things, that somebody would think that. Holy Spirit is God. And if we don't give recognition to Him in us, we're not giving recognition to God in us. We don't do it. Always praying to a God 2 billion miles away somewhere. I always think, never worshiping the God that's in us. God's inside. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory ain't Christ in heaven sitting at the right hand of the Father, is it? It's Christ in you is what the hope of glory is. You need to get Him off the chair and in you. Get Him off the chair and get Him in you. Hallelujah. You do that through your voice. You do that through your voice. Hallelujah. God's in you and God's big in you. Glory to God. Father, I want to thank You. Father, we're moving higher and upward. Lord God, of anything I pray that our ears hear, and that's truth. Anything that I want to fall upon our ears. Lord, there's many voices and none without significance, the Word says. But Lord God, there's many voices saying many things that aren't good. And Lord God, Lord, forgive us because the church has complicated the gospel. Lord God, they've put all kind of things that men have said and made it said it was you. But Lord God, we want to hear what the truth is. So Father God, our great desire is to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to do, is we're going to listen to the Holy Spirit, because He takes what belongs to Jesus and He reveals it to us. And Lord God, there's not a one of us here today. There's things that we need to know and we need to comprehend. And the answer is in the Word. The answer is in the great gracious words that you gave us. And the Holy Jesus Christ, He is those words. Those words are nothing if they're not Him. And the Holy Spirit, you're going to take those words and you're going to reveal them. They're going to become revelation to us. They're going to become out the life that we live and what we walk in and what we breathe and what we are, Lord God, is your words. And I thank you the Holy Spirit's going to show us how to correct things, how to move in the right direction, whatever it is that an individual needs. I want to thank you today, Lord God. We're no longer looking up some mystery or trying to reach out to something that's hard to grasp. We're not doing that because the Holy Spirit's already in us. He's already been declared by Jesus that He would take what belongs to Him and show it to us. It didn't say we had to scrape, cry, bawl, squall, do all kind of things. It never told us to do that. That's His job. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to speak to us. We welcome you to talk to us. We welcome you to take what belongs to Jesus. We want Jesus glorified in us. We want Christ in us, the hope of glory. We want that glory. Hallelujah. We want it manifested in us. Hallelujah. That glory. And I thank you, Lord God. Oh, just bring the simplicity of the Word back to us. The simplicity of the Word again. Lord God, that's the great treasure. It's the great treasure, Lord God. Lord, it's what anybody would go buy a field, Lord God. They'll do whatever they had to get that pearl. Lord God, whatever. And Lord God, the Word sure is the pearl. And Lord God, we'd sure make the investment into that pearl. Hallelujah. Oh, that Lord God, because the wisdom and the graciousness of the grace of God that's in that Word, hallelujah, that will revolutionize and change the life of humanity. Lord God, it's because of that Word we've been born again. We've been made new creatures. And I thank you we stand today before you, Lord God, not on the basis of any great thing that we've done or we performed. We're standing before you, Lord God, totally on the fact that we receive Jesus Christ by faith, that we're born again, and it's by faith alone, Lord God. Nothing that we've done, any good that we've done beyond this point, it's because of your great grace that works in us. And Lord God, I want to thank you because the good work you started in us, you will bring it to completion. Lord God, you're not letting this thing alone. Lord, even though we may have stumbled up, we have missed the mark. Lord God, we want to thank you for your great forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ that stands eternally. Hallelujah. And Father God, just as you took our sin, you took our infirmities, and you bore our sicknesses. And I want to thank you today, Lord God. That's something that is completed and done in Christ Jesus. And we declare that it's done. We declare that it's finished. We declare our health, our wholeness, our soundness. We have been given the mind of Christ. We have to have it. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. We're thinking right. Hallelujah. We're believing right. We're walking right. Hallelujah. Because that's the way that you made us. Hallelujah. And you're bringing it to completion, and we're fulfilling it through our faith in Christ Jesus. Lord God, you're working in us mightily. Hallelujah. And we thank you for that, Lord God. And Father God, as today, as we leave this place, Lord God, our minds are being renewed. Hallelujah. Renewed. Hallelujah. Lord God, a mind that prospers, a mind that thinks right, hallelujah, a mind that's blessed, a mind, Lord God, hallelujah, Lord, that's not thinking about what's bad coming, but what good is coming, hallelujah, the blessing that you prepared for us before the foundation of the world, hallelujah, Lord God, we thank you for that. Lord God, it is your desire that we prosper. It's your desire that we're being in health as our soul prospers, and our soul is prospering in line with the Word of God, hallelujah. We're being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Hallelujah. Lord God, our mind is thinking like the inner man, not like the outer man. Hallelujah. Outer man, you're just going to have to take a back seat in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God. Lord, there's ones in here that have had wisdom in them for years and years and years. Some has been oppressed and set back, but I thank you that wisdom is coming back now. That wisdom is rising up again. The wisdom that has been, Lord God, it's there in the Spirit. It's there and it's theirs. Hallelujah. And they know it and they have it on the inside. And I think again, that's coming back up. The Holy Spirit's bringing that up out of their spirit again. Hallelujah. And they'll walk in that place. They'll walk where it seems they haven't been able to walk before. Yet in years past, they walked there. And now they'll walk there again. Hallelujah. Because now those wells are being redug right now in the name of Jesus. And they're going to drink that water again. They're going to drink that water, that refreshing from that well. And they're going to walk in that place again. Hallelujah. And that place is a place of refreshing for them in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. And the glory. Yes. The glory that comes with that revelation. The glory. Hallelujah. The peace that comes with that revelation. The understanding of many things. Many things that have seemed to be in the past will no longer be in the past. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's here in the now. And the Holy Spirit's bringing it forth because we're walking into a great future. We're walking into a glorious future. Hallelujah. And we're being rejuvenated and brought back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From those places where we've been held captive, but no longer will be held captive. Men will no longer hold us there. Demons will no longer hold us there. We will walk forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For God has opened doors that men and demons cannot shut. He has opened doors for us to walk into and to do. And there's doors that have been closed now. And those doors, they can never open them again to us to bring their harmful ways in. They are closed in the name of Jesus. Yes. And we're going to go forth into the light and walk in the light in these last days. And that light will be bright and glorious. Hallelujah. And revelation will flow like a river. And the Holy Spirit will teach and bring understanding to hearts and minds. Yes. And it'll flow. It'll flow so fast. You'll wonder, oh, can I receive all this? And yes, you can. Your inner man can receive far more than he has. Much more. He can comprehend many things that the outer man will take a time for him to learn and understand. But yield to the inner man. Yield to the inner man and you can bring things to pass that your mind can't even comprehend. But yet your spirit will bring it to pass because out of your mouth will come words anointed by God that will bring things to pass that will change things for humanity in these last days and will bring glory to God. And again, God will be seen, hallelujah, by men. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for a people that are prosperous and healthy. That's what they are. You made them to be that way. Lord God, I thank you. Money and the things that they need, it comes to them quickly. Lord, I thank you that in 2017, you're going to turn things around enormously. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to prosper. You're going to prosper businesses. You're going to prosper things, Lord God. Hallelujah. More than enough. More than enough. Hallelujah. Lord God, it's coming in. Yes. Hallelujah. Many things are going to have to be expanded. Many things are going to have to be changed. Hallelujah. Because God has no intent that things stay the way that they are. They're going to develop and they're going to grow and they're going to get bigger. Oh yes, and if you walk by faith in this time, you walk by faith and you go along with this, God will expand you right with it. God will expand you. It won't be a problem to you. It won't be a burden to you. Hallelujah. Because your mind will expand right along with what's going on and what's happening. Hallelujah. And whatever God's doing to prosper, you'll be able to flow and go right in it. You'll walk in it because you do it by faith. Hallelujah. You do it by faith and your faith will bring things to pass that cannot be brought by men. It would take too much time to do to bring it to pass and men figure it out. It won't happen that way for you, but your faith will bring it to pass and people will sit and wonder, how did they make that happen? How did that come to pass? Yes, because it was brought to pass by your faith hooked up with God, and God was able to do what men cannot. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We're going to be running to keep up. We're going to be running to keep up. We're just going to run to keep up. Hallelujah. This is a year of prosperity and health 2017 is a year of prosperity and health. That's what it is. And that's the direct relation of God. This is a year of prosperity and health. God has set it in motion. It's His plan. It's His purpose for you. So you might sit and look, well, boy, there's other things seem to go we need. Oh, I'll tell you what, flow in what He shows you to, and you'll know what to do about the other. You'll know what to do about the other. Don't flow in what He's doing and get on the wave that God is on. Don't try to build your own wave. Get on the wave that He's on, and you're going to find out if you follow with what He's doing, you're going to have a whole bunch of other things you're going to straighten out, and it'll go well for you. And a lot of other things will happen because we get on that wave. Hallelujah. See, a lot of people, they, oh boy, you know, well, we really need to reach the lost. I'm going to tell you, God's saying, I want to bless the church. Until the church rises up, the world stay in the world. The glorious church is rising up, and that's God's plan. That's the wave God's on right now. God's wave is the church right now. 2017 is going to be a year of great blessing for some and a terrible year for others who don't get on the wave, who decide to keep following what they were doing. I tell you, flow on the wave of God. Hallelujah. Because 2017 is going to be is a great year where the church is rising up, where the real church. Hallelujah. They used to have that show, with the real church, please stand up. That's what it's going to say. Hallelujah. Well, the real church is going to stand up this year. The real church is going to stand out. God is going to draw a line and make a difference between who's His and who's not. Hallelujah. Who belongs to Him and who doesn't. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2017 is the best year Ed Gibson's going to ever. I'll tell you, this up to date, this is going to be the thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, Darlene prophesied about that back 2016. Said about this year coming up. Said concerning me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I took it. It's the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But it's not just for me. It's for anybody who wants it. If you want it, walk into it. Hallelujah. God don't do things for me in this church just for me. It's for you. Hallelujah. He's blessing me, it means He wants to bless you. He's doing for me, He's wanting to do for you. Hallelujah. That's what He's wanting to do. Glory to God. So let's take a hold of it. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Go after it this week.